to the 90th Psalm, and to the second chapter of 1 Peter, Psalm 90. And 1 Peter 2. Two phrases from the text that Timothy read in the early morning Bible study will be helpful to us to fix in our minds. The phrase, planted by the rivers of waters. Planted. And contrasted to that, the chaff which the wind driveth. Those two thoughts from the first psalm, the righteous planted by the rivers of waters, the ungodly, the chaff which the wind driveth. Reading from the 90th psalm, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place, our permanent habitation. In all generations, never has been any different. Never been a people who lived or time when God was not our permanent dwelling place. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of man. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Last Lord's Day, we spoke to you from the 25th verse, principally on one word, were. Were. And we aided our thoughts in that with the admonition from the prophecy of Isaiah, who said, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and the hole of the pit from which you were digged. You were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He's speaking, of course, of Christians, no one else. Could say that. No one else can look to the pit. You're in the pit. You can't look to the pit. You're in it. You can't find a hole. The hole isn't there. You're still there that makes the hole. No hole where you come out of it. You're still in the hole of the pit. But those who've been digged out, you can look back, see where you come from. Where you got dug out of. What you got hewn out of. Now today, I want us to consider two more words in this 25th verse. Going, and the word returned. Going and returned. Now the tense does not agree with each other. I'm not speaking on going and returning. Going is something that is ongoing. It never stops. It's always going. But returned is something that's settled and finished. Now, I want to get in your living room this morning. We're on the porch now. where you are, and I want you to bring you into mind where I am. And our thoughts on this word especially, going. Now there are two senses in the Bible that I want to exclude from our thoughts this morning. There's one narrow sense in which I want it considered. And the narrow sense doesn't mean that it's rarely used in that sense. In fact, most of the times it's used in this narrow sense. Isaiah 6 and 9, the prophet saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said three words to him. One of Leonard Ravenhill's sermons that everybody's heard is probably is, woe, lo, and go. Woe is me, and lo, look at what I've sent you to, and go, I sent you. And also similar to it in Matthew 28 and 19, when the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, going isn't necessarily considered here because these people are not primarily going. They are obeying. Obeying. The one thing that costs us more than anything else, that is, we spend more money on it than anything else. The one thing that gets us into more trouble than anything else. That which we spend most for and gives us least return. That which is the occasions of most of our disappointments is going. You see signs. I see a sign every once in a while. A going church for a coming Lord. Now, they do not necessarily mean by that we are obeying our Lord's command to go into all the world. What they mean is, folks, we got something going here. We got a going thing. There is a euphemism, a colloquialism, a metaphor, whatever you want to call it, modern language about a particular device or a particular plan or a particular scheme. You reckon this thing going to fly? You suppose it's going to go? Going! Going! Going. The characteristics of going is the exercise of volition or will or choice in all of God's mobile creation. Now, everything can't go. Trees can't go. Rocks can't go. Dirt can't go. Plants are fixed. But those of God's creation that are mobile, that have the facility of transporting themselves, of moving, characterized primarily their volition and their will and their choice is characterized in going. First of all, your feet. One passage of scripture that God's used to pummel me with for years, and you can tell by watching me a while, he still does. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. First, our feet. Then we found out we could catch beasts who had 4 feet. We'd make them use theirs. We'd just ride them. Donkeys, camels, horses. More recently, machines, automobiles. In case you challenge now, what costs us more than anything else is our going. The biggest liability you have in your assets is your automobile. The more you got, the more liabilities you got. You say, well, I spend more on my house than I do my automobile. I doubt that. Besides, your automobile is not your only expense in your going. If you never went anywhere, you wouldn't have to spend all that money on those pretty clothes you're buying. And all the things that go with the going business. You spend more on going, do anything else, and get less out of it. And it gives you more disappointments and gets you into more trouble. Automobiles. And then we really get into the transportation business. Trains. and buses, and more recently airplanes, going is so fixed in this particular aspect, variety of God's creatures today, that when folks were forced to stay and stop going, you talk about an outcry. You'd do better if somebody burn your house down and take your automobile away from you, or take your bicycle, or stop all the means of transportation. You see, what an outcry when the big airline struck, and they threatened to strike the trains too. Can't do that. The whole thing will fall apart that man has built if you stop him from going. He got to go. Now, it wasn't like that when he first made him. The Bible says God put him in a particular garden, and everything he needed was right there. But he didn't stay. Now, we're not satisfied with just going on the globe. We got to run space shuttles. What for? Just to go out there and come back. That's all they're doing. Just to go out and come back. Just going. This characterizes, and this is our way of demonstrating our independence. They don't want to get cabin fever. We got to go. We stop and think about how powerful and demanding and merciless this drive is to go. I'm just taking the passage in our text here. You were as sheep. What was the sheep doing? Going. Going sheep are goats. Going creatures. This is our imagined freedom. We imagine our freedom, our liberty, the supreme expression of it is our mobility. We howl and cry and protest when the government says you can't leave the country. You can't leave the town. Especially when they shut us up in a particular place and say you can't leave there. We punish our criminals by stopping them from going. Who goes? Who is it that's doing all this going anyway? Well, in the sense understood, and in the sense in our text that we have here, you were a sheep going astray. Going is always away from God. More often than you might think, even in the applied sense, going is away from God. The first man in the Bible who went anywhere, you know who he was? Can you think about it a moment? The first time you find that word went in the Bible, who went? Somebody tell me. Cain. Where'd he go? The Bible says he went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, but not out of God's presence. This is something God did. God took them out of there, but they still weren't away from God. Now, I don't want us to understand this matter of going simply a matter of changing locations. I'm talking about going in the sense of my volition and my exercising my freedom and my choice. I'll go. I'm going somewhere. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to stick. I'm going to move. First man in the book. The Bible says he went anywhere. Where'd he go? Went away from God. See, that's the only place you can go. Lord, thou hast been our habitation throughout all generations before the mountains were brought forth. Even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Never been any different. Dear friend, when you and I take it upon ourselves to move, every one direction we can move, that's away from God. I don't know too much about geometry, plain geometry. But I know one thing. Two points are fixed together, and they separate. There's some distance put between them. Is away from God. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain the first type, the first lost man in the Bible. The way of Cain. The fugitive. What does the Bible say about him? He's a traveling man. He's a hobo. He's going. He's a going fella. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. That's where he was. He was a going man. He was a traveler. He was always going. Now, in that respect, the Bible says, all have gone. In Psalm 14:3, they have all gone aside. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. 1 Peter 2:25, you were as sheep. What are you doing? Going. Where are you going? Astray. Now, why do people go? Why is this fella going? What's he going for? What moves him to go? What's the dynamic behind the going? We've already established all this going. Why is he going? Are you dissatisfied? Dissatisfaction. Jeremiah Burroughs wrote the little book. I think we may still have some over there in the book room. On Christian contentment. Such a rare thing that you find. Dissatisfaction. Discontent. Disrest. Restlessness. What do you do when you're restless? What do they call it? Antsy. Can't sit still. Got to move. What do they call it now? Hyperactivity. Lack of attention span. Why is it that we cannot sit and be quiet? Why is it that we cannot be content where we are in our circumstances? Where we find ourselves, why is it that we have to move? Dissatisfaction. Luke 15 gives the story of a prodigal. Had a good daddy. Successful farmer. Had plenty of work to occupy his sons. Had plenty of substance to feed them with. Had a good place. Actually, as it turns out, the best place on earth for him. Isn't that so? Right there where he was. Well, what did he say? I'm dissatisfied. I don't like the way you're treating me. I think I'd do a little better by myself. I don't like it around here. I got no friends here. I don't like people are here. I want to get out where it's better. Just give me what I got coming. I'll get out of your way. I've got to go. And so he gave him his substance and he went. And he went. And he went. And never found what he was looking for. He spent everything he had. He went everywhere he could go. And finally, when it was all gone, and he didn't have any place else to go, and he's hungry, what'd he do? He went again. To a fella, citizen of that country, hog farmer, and asked for just the husk that the swine did eat. There he was. That's the product. That's the disappointment. That's the cost. Of going. Well, you say, you know, he just didn't find it. That's right, he didn't. I would know you won't either. You find the same thing he found. You find a hog trough somewhere for the rest of the swine. That's all there is out there. So he's gone. Why is he going? Distrust of God. Rebellion against him. The prophet Jeremiah chides the children of Israel who have gone down into Egypt in Jeremiah 44:8. Scolds them. Told them his wrath is against them. They're down there in Egypt where they have gone and worship other gods. They didn't like it in the land where God gave them. A land indeed flowing with milk and honey. A land where God could pour down the blessings from heaven and give them a special rain in the season. Didn't like that. rebellion against him, dissatisfied, going down there to Egypt. Oh, Egypt, exotic places, thrills we haven't ever experienced, never could find them that round here. Special fish dishes, leeks and onions and garlics and melons. They don't have any fish here in these mountains. They won't grow here. Down into Egypt, other gods. Gods that do things for us, our God won't. That's why they were down there. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. Speaks of Naomi, married to a young man named Elimelech. Benjaminites, Ephrathites of the country of Judah, living in Bethlehem. Thing got a little hard there. Had a famine. Hard times. So they went down to Moab, for the whole bunch of them, except for Naomi, died. Come back with a couple of Moabites. Distrust of God. God not meeting my needs here. What God did with me, what God's doing with me now, is not going to be sufficient. I can't be content with what comes from His hands. I've got to go out from the presence of the Lord and improve myself and my station. Why did they go? Hankering for more pleasure. More pleasure, I say. We read last Sunday about that passage in Titus, where he talks about divers lusts and pleasures. Different lusts and pleasures. It isn't enough to have pleasure. We want a different one. We want more. And we think we'll find it. More pleasure. More variety. Grass that's greener. You've heard that old song, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? Yeah, y'all ever have to get that goat and the head out of the fence? Sure, grass looks greener over there. You see it from an angle there, and it looks greener than that part there. That's the reason it's going. And that's the reason the sheep are gone astray. They're waiting in grass, knee-deep. But they see some of them. You ever watch a cow in a pasture? Cow in a pasture will stomp down 10 times as much grass as she eats. She could stand where she is. She got a neck that long. She could swing that around and mow down everything in front of her and move about a half a dozen times. She'd have her belly full. But she ain't doing that. Every time she bites, she takes 2 steps. Bites here and bites there. Back there, she's stomping down more than she eats. That's the way people are. You're wading through the goodness of God all around you. Stomping and shoving and trying to get to something else. Something exotic. There's bound to be something out there better than this. Nothing could be this bad. Got to be better than this somewhere. And so they're going. Something illicit. Something deprived. I'm deprived of now. Why are they going? Ambition. Greed and arrogance. James 4 speaks of that when he says, some folks, some merchants, I think, James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go. Why are we going? Why are we going into such a city? What are you going to do? We're going to continue there a year. That'll be about long enough, and then we'll go somewhere else. What are we going to do? We're going to buy and sell and get gain. We're going to be richer when we get out of there. We're going to better ourselves. Our ambition, our greed, and our arrogance. Our arrogance to think that we can better ourselves. If we, in our independence, go away from God and take matters into our own hands, we can do much, much better than simply trusting and obeying Him. Now that's arrogance. And James rightly says, whereas you ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll go. Now if the Lord will and the Lord sends, I'll have to go. But see, that ain't going. That's obeying. You see the difference? You see the difference? I'm trying to use the sense of the word going. set against obedience? You see, you're not going from the presence of the Lord, you're going with Him. You ought to say, the Lord will, and the Lord won't. We don't have any plans to go. You ought to say, the Lord will. But ambition and greed and arrogance will not permit that. Why is it going? Well, not all of these things are strictly something that arises out of our own volition, flat-footed. That is, from cold concentration or meditation. Probably this is more true, more often than not, that our going is more characterized by the phrase over there in the first psalm, like the chaff driven by the wind. Passage in Ephesians 4, that you be no more children tossed about by every wind. Going because we are enticed, we are carried, picked up by evil forces, storms that we cannot resist, winds and rumors. I doubt if any of you have been involved in it. Most of you have seen pictures, read books about the gold rushes. You know why Oklahoma is called the Sooner State? They appointed a certain day when they're going to give a bunch of land. Well, let me take it like that. They're fixing to steal a bunch of land from the Indians and giving it to the white man. And they appointed a certain time and had a certain line across there. And nobody was to leave that line before the certain time on a certain day. And everybody that got out there and staked their claim that was theirs. And everybody lined up there. And when the time came, the pistol shot, everybody going to take off. Well, some people cheated, snuck out there into the land and staked it sooner than they were supposed to. They called those Sooners. They were illicit and it's illegal, but a lot of them got by with it. That's the reason they call them Sooner States. But don't you know when they popped that pistol, all that free Indian land out there, people on bicycles, some of them running, some of them on horses, some of them in wagons, stomped over each other, run over each other, carried them back. They couldn't stop themselves, they wanted to, by fads, rumors. You see people climbing over themselves to get to something simply because other people want it. The wind's carrying them along, blowing them along. The most impressive thing I think I saw a few years ago when I went to Pensacola Beach in Florida, sat there on the seashore in that sand and watched the water and the waves. Of course, I can go down to the little ponds around here, sit there and look at it, and it's just as still and quiet. Every once in a while, a bug will ripple it, fish will make a pop, and then the water is still again. But not those ocean waves. They never, never rested. Always picking and tossing. They throw up on the rocks and on the sand, run back, up again, and back again. Irresistible winds and forces, moving them around. Pitiful picture given to us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. These are wells without water. Clouds, they are. Carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The same thought, 4, 5, 6 pages over in Jude, verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Going. Where is it going? In a word, astray. Oh, what a dismal word. Astray. Well, in Romans, the Bible says, They are all gone out of the way. Romans 3 and 12. Out of the way. Brother Timothy, talk to us about a straight, narrow path. And one of them. Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate. Gone out of the way. Astray. You see, sheep with a shepherd move. They travel. But they're in the way where the shepherd is. They're grazing. But they're gone astray out of the way. Psalm 14, a sigh left the main road. Wandering, Jude 13 says, wandering. They tell us that people who have trouble with what this disease old folks get with their minds, Alzheimer's, that they, in their own home, sometimes they forget where they are. Just completely lose all reference. And they wander through the house, out the yard, maybe down the street. No direction. That's the picture given here. No consciousness. No direction. No fixed goal. No unchanging compass points. The mariner takes the sextant. He's out on the ocean. He has a direction. He's headed a port he seeks to reach. He picks his compass and his sextant upon a star. At a certain time, every day he can fix his sextant on that point. It'll still be there. He has a point of reference, and he knows where he's going. But goers don't. Every day, the compass points change. You never know what's coming next. He never gets anywhere. He never arrives. He has no destination. He never arrives anywhere. His miseries are multitudes. Where does this get him? Where is he going? His miseries are, first of all, this. He never rests. He's homeless. He's alone. Nobody's with him. There's other people going, but not going with him. Because he's not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere either. He's always alone. You're in this condition, you will ever be alone. With multitudes in hell, and that's where you're going. The ultimate place that you'll go, and you're going, is to hell. You can't go to heaven. You can only go to hell. No, you can't. If you get to heaven, you'll have to be carried there. The only place you can go is go to hell. The Bible says this fellow that had 99 sheep, he lost one. He went out till he found him. There it is, his sheep. Where was he going? What'd he do? He said, go home, boy. No, sir. He picked him up and put him on his shoulders. Carried him home. That's the only way you'll ever get home. You'll have to be carried to heaven. You just keep on going. Just keep on going. You know where you wind up? Where all folks go who go. You'll go to hell. My, my. What a miserable picture. Now let's take up the second word, returned. You were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Our returning will have to be caused by the Lord's call. He's the only person in the universe who can lawfully and rightly say this blessed word, come unto me. He is. He's the only one that can say that. I can't tell you to come to me. I can't do that. And I can say, well, I'm where you ought to be. You ought to come to me. No, sir, dear friends. I can't do that. You need to come to him. We cannot say that. He's only like to say, go to him. But he can say, come to me. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Our Lord's call to come unto him is the occasion of our returning. Our coming is our returning. Psalm 93:90-91 tells us, return unto me. Jeremiah 3:12, to those Israelites that he chides for being down there in Egypt. He chides them, he scolds them, he says he's angry with them, and yet he tells us in Jeremiah 3:12, go and proclaim those words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Return unto me, he says. He says it again in verse 22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And he says it again in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 3 days, he will raise us up. In Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, we see his call once again to the children of Israel in chapter 3 and verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Return. Our returning is from our sin, our rebellion, and our way. All the evil that we are in and all the evil that we have been in, our returning is from all of that, that we might come back to him. Israel, to return. Naomi and Ruth arose from the place they were, down in the country of Moab, to return to the land of Israel and Bethlehem. The prodigal son, when he came to himself, said, I will return. Our returning is to the Lord. And this is such a precious passage in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. It's in good season for us at all times. For my thoughts, well, let's look at verse 7. 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's our going. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He is our eternal habitation. Psalm 90:1. In Genesis 3:19, the Bible says God records God's words to Adam after he had sinned, and he says, dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. Now let me engage your thoughts just a few quiet moments on this. I've been rather long this morning. May have wearied your minds. But I'd like for you to think sharply, clearly about this, just a few moments. Look at your flesh, your hands. Look at the one next to you. Is there any doubt in anybody here? Any at least doubt in your mind that what you're looking at there will return to dust? Doubt in your mind about that? I don't have to preach that to you. You know that, don't you? We don't think about it much. But that's going back to dust. The skin, the flesh, the bones, ligaments, all going back to dust. Just like that dirt out there. 100 years from now, less than that, you'll be so much topsoil. Yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's going back to it. It's returning. That's where God got it. Going to put it right back there. Now your body is going back to the earth, to the dust. It is. Now you look pretty good now. You can go. You still going. But your body don't return to the dust. Ain't going no more there. Don't rest in the grave. Where's your soul going? Now you're not this body. I didn't you. You in it. But you're not. You're not the body. There's a mind in it. It's more than the brain. There's affections. There's feelings. There's emotions. There's life. Where's that going? Where's it going? The Lord says, return unto me. Return unto me. Where's that going? I'm returning, dear friends, and you don't have to wait. In fact, you wait that long, you'll go keep on going to hell. But the call is now today to return unto Him. Our returning is our resting. That it is the end of our going. The end of our searching. The end of our wandering. The end of our discontent. The end of our dissatisfaction. Yes. Brother Merrill, you know what you thought about. I sure do. His rest is glorious. It is the end of our independence. It is the end of our strife and our rebellion. Yes, just like Psalm 1 and 3 says, He shall be like a tree. He is planted by the rivers of living waters, and His leaf shall not wither. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. They still going, driven by the wind. Just a few thoughts from the 116th Psalm, and we'll be through. Psalm 116. Stand up. Take a page out of Johnny Carter's book. 116th Psalm. Verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Here's the psalmist. He's talking to his soul. He said, get back where you belong. Return unto thy rest. Why? The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Yeah, you look back. That prodigal son said, now I remember where it was in daddy's house. You know, food was pretty good. Bed slept good. Clothes was all right. In fact, I hadn't found anything like it since then. I was dealt with bountifully. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. You stop and think a little bit how good God been to you all your life. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with you. Sufficient, plenty. I'll be content in His planting and His provisions. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. What else has He done? For He hath delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You see, the fellow is going. He's seen the shadow of death. He's learned tears. His feet have slipped. I'm going back to God. And then he thinks about all those things. In verse 12, he said, but what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What am I going to do if I'm going to rest? If I'm going to return and rest, what am I going to do? I got to do something, all right. Verse 9 says, and it's enough to keep you busy. I will walk. Yeah, he's still traveling, moving. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. I'd like us to sing number 112 in our hymnal.